Thank God there is power in the blood. If you have your Bibles this morning, open the book of Esther, the Old Testament. The book of Esther. Raise your hand when you find it. Hold it about 10 seconds. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Somebody said, what'd y'all do at church this morning? We hunted the book of Esther. Time everybody finds it, we'll dismiss. But if you learn that, you learn more than usual. Amen. More than most time when folks go to church, don't learn anything much. Amen. How's everybody got it? Few more pages still a flipping. I remember one time I was preaching to this church and I was preaching out of the book of, I think one of the prophets, I think the Old Testament. And the preacher sat there and hunted that thing half of my message. Never did find it. Finally just closed the Bible and gave up and half the people couldn't find it. And finally a lot of them gave up and went over at the front, you know, where it's got them all listed and tells you what page you're on. And found it that way. And I say that, say this, you ought to learn to be more familiar with the Word of God. You can read the Bible through twice a year, very easy. You can read it through once a year, real easy, three chapters, four chapters a day. And you can read something like seven chapters a day and read the entire thing through twice easily in a year's time. And so I want to encourage you to do that. It'll be a blessing to you. And especially when you come to a book like the book of Esther. This book of Esther shows the tender care of God over His people. And that's why it's always a blessing to me every time I read it. It shows God's watching over His children, and especially the Jews. And this only book in the Bible, I think the word Lord or God, the name of God's not mentioned in the book of Esther, 10 chapters. And that's, it's striking because God's all the way through it, even though His name's not mentioned, He's there. And this morning I'd like to preach to you from the book of Esther, and I'd like to, for you to hold your Bibles open. It's only the second time I've ever preached from this scripture. I've been preaching, but I always love it and enjoy it when I read it and study it. And I trust that it'll be a blessing to your heart. And I'd like for you to hold your Bibles open this morning, and we'll speak to you on the subject, a Bible story and a Bible lesson. A Bible story and a Bible lesson. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You for health and strength and the blessings of life. We thank You, our Father, once again for another privilege to walk in these doors and come up here, Lord, in this church and to worship You in spirit and truth. Lord, we realize had it not been for what You've done for us, God, that we'd no doubt some of us would be in jail, some in the hospital, some maybe already in hell. But we're so glad this morning that Your grace reached down where we were and lifted us up. And Lord, made us nigh by the blood of Christ. We're so glad for changed lives and changed hearts and individuals here in this room today. We're glad that they're a testimony to the saving grace of God. We thank our Father for the privilege to open up Your word, Your book and read from the pages of the precious Word of God. We pray, dear Lord, that it go out in power and authority here today. Lord, move out anything in our life or the lives of these that are here who is not right, not where it should be, not the way it should be, that would hinder the moving of Your Spirit in this service. And Lord, I pray a special prayer for that one, for those who may be in our midst, who's still not ready to meet You if You should come today. Help them, Lord, to get it settled before it's too late between their soul and their Creator. And we'll thank You and love You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk to you a little while today on the subject of Bible story and a Bible lesson. The reason I chose this title for this message is because we find it a wonderful, amazing Bible story in the book of Esther. And it reminds you of some of these stories, maybe that you would get the kids around the bed at night and you'd say, y'all want me to tell you a Bible story? And their face light up and they smile and they say, yes, Mom, or yes, Dad, I want to hear a good Bible story. And I want to tell it to you on that level this morning, as just as if I were telling a Bible story to a group of people. Now, I believe a preacher ought to be up on what's going on in the world. I believe a man of God ought to know the signs and the coming of the events that are taking place and what's happening. I believe he ought to be informed and enlightened. But a lot of times we as preachers, we get so wrapped up in the things that are going on around us and the signs and this and that and how bad the world's getting and everything, that a lot of times we just sound a little bit more like a news reporter than we do a preacher of the Word. And so this morning what I'd like to do is preach to you what the Bible says and what the Word of God would have us to know from this Bible story. And then I call it a Bible lesson because there's always some Bible lessons to learn from Bible stories. I mean, the Lord didn't put these Bible stories in the Old Testament for us just to have a bedtime story and something the kids would enjoy or something like that. The Lord put these Bible stories in the Old Testament that we could learn lessons from them for my and your ordinary, everyday Christian life. Now in the Bible, this story tells us in the book of Esther, this book has 10 chapters. And if you'll pray for us and bow with us this morning, we're going to skim all 10 of these chapters this morning and tell you one of the most amazing stories of the care of God over His people of anywhere in the Bible. This book was written about 500 B.C., after the time of Daniel, when the Jews were in captivity. And I want to right quick this morning, introduce the main characters in this story. As we study this Bible story this morning, I'm going to introduce to you the main characters. Starring, number one, King Ahasuerus. He was the king in this story that reigned over the provinces from India to Ethiopia. Over 127 provinces this king ruled over. That meant like little communities, 127 of them. They known him as king. What he said went. And then he sat on the throne in the Shushan Palace. I introduce to you, second of all this morning, his wife, first one, or the one he had at this time, Vashti. And brother, this wife Vashti was stubborn and rebellious and disobeyed her husband. And she was like some of these modern day wives, you know, that tell their husband, I ain't going to do what you say. I don't have to do as you please. If I feel like I should do this, I'm going to do this. Don't matter what you say. I'll just do what I please. I don't want nothing you've got anything to do with. But yet when he got his payday and the money come in, she was more than willing to cooperate and help him spend it. Now, you women ought to pray about that for a few days and then see if you fall into that category. But his wife was stubborn and rebellious. And then I introduce to you the main character in this story, Mordecai the Jew who remained faithful to God, the quiet, solemn Jew that believed that his God was who he promised to his father Abraham and the men of his ancestors. I introduce you Esther, Mordecai's cousin, who was beautiful and fair and wound up being the king's next choice. And then finally, I introduce to you that wicked Haman, the adversary, the wicked one in this story, who sought and tried to do away with God's people. In every story like this, there's always a villain. There's always a troublemaker. There's always the old jealous, never getting anywhere, little wicked man with a little smirky grin. There's always a Dr. Smith in every crowd. There's always a Mr. Drysdale in every story. And Haman in this story was that part. All right, now you'll notice if you've read this, you might help you to understand a little bit better. But if you've not, I'll try to explain it the best I can. In the introduction, you see, in chapters 1 and chapters 2, you'll see the setting of this story. King Ahasuerus made a great feast. And while he was there, he sent word for his wife, Vashti, to come in and so all the people could see her. He said, servant, would you run over there and tell my wife to come in here to the palace? We'll say right in here is the king's palace. Tell my wife, Vashti, to come in here to the king's palace so that all my friends may meet her. And he had all his big fancy friends in there and everything. And so he sent word for her to come. And then she said, when she heard that, she said, well, just tell him I ain't going to do it. She just flat out just refused to do as he had asked her to. And when he got word about that, he was furious and he was mad. And he said, well, how does she think she is treating me like that? And some of his royal subjects standing around said, King, you ought to get rid of her. It ain't right, that woman treating you like that and rebellious and being ugly and hateful, and after you letting her be the queen, being good to her and providing for her, and won't you just get rid of her and get you another queen? And him being an old heathen king thought that was a pretty good idea. And so he said, well, she's no longer king or queen as of right now. And so they said, if this word gets around that the queen has disobeyed the king, then the other women in all the other provinces will get word of it, and they'll start being rebellious. They'll start being disobedient. And first thing you know, no woman will reverence or be in subjection to her husband. That's why that it's so wicked and so evil for a wife to be rebellious against the plan of God and the will of God and the way of God or the man of God, is because the first thing you know, others will follow her rebellious trail. And that's why they got rid of her. He said, she ain't queen no more. Just zap, put her away in the split of, or twinkling of an eye. And then they begin to hunt another one. In chapter 2, you'll notice. Now you'll notice in verse 11, he said in chapter 1, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with a crown royal to show the people and princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. She refused. She rebelled. Now let's go on to chapter 2. Hold your Bibles open there to chapter 2. About this time, the king began to hunt a new queen. And he had all different kind of young, beautiful girls brought in before him. And here they stood, like Miss Universe Paget or somebody. And they stand there all in front of him. He went down the line looking at them. And they had to keep them girls up and purify them. Had to be virgins. Couldn't be somebody that everybody in the football team had slobbered all over. Couldn't be somebody that had just been passed around like a rubber ball, you know. Had to be a nice, good, clean, decent girl. And so they had all these girls brought before the king, and the king had them examined. And when the king come to Esther, his eyes stopped. And brother, he said she was more fair and more beautiful to look upon than any of the other virgins that had been brought in before him. And he knew, to make a long story short, he knew that that was the lady that he wanted to be the new queen. All right, now he said, I want her to be the queen. And so he chose Esther. He brought in all the maidens. She looked better than all of them. So he said, I want that one to be the queen. That was God that gave Esther that beauty and made her that way so that his plan could be worked out in this kingdom. I want to say, I mean, sometimes it's almost like beauty, a beautiful woman's got a curse on her or something. But beauty or anything like that is a gift from God. And if God gives you natural beauty and God allows you to have that, you ought to be chaste and pure and live for God and use what God's given you for right and not for influence for the devil in this world. Esther did that, and which was right, and she got blessed for it. And anyway, the king said, I want you to be the queen. She got in there, made her the new queen. In the meantime, out here's the king's gate that was leading into the palace. Old Mordecai the Jew, he just stood out there. I can imagine him just sitting there. Probably had an old black mustache coming around like this. That's the way I picture him. Never spoke a word. He's walking back and forth, wondering what would become of Esther inside. He stayed. He hung around out here at the king's gate all the time. And he's listening and he's watching. He was a full-blooded Jew. And brother, he kept his eyes open and his ears open, and he was wondering what was going on inside the palace. And about that time he got word that Esther had been made the queen. But I want you to notice that it just so happened in those days, while this was taking place, there were two men out here who worked for the king that decided they was going to kill him and assassinate him. And they were making a plan to assassinate the king. They said, we're going to get rid of King Ahasuerus because we don't like him anymore. And they made plans to assassinate him. And somehow or another, Mordecai caught the wind and found out what was going on. And one day he caught Esther over here by herself and he said, there's two men, and give them their name. They're going to assassinate the king. Esther went and told the king, there's two men. She gave him their name, and they're going to try to assassinate you. They found out them men's plans. They found out what they were planning on doing. And brother, they put those men to death. And the plan was found out. And the king was happy. And notice that the Bible says that it was recorded in the book of the Chronicles. Now, you remember that just for a few minutes. That's going to be mighty significant as we move along in this story. Brother, the Bible said, Mordecai found it out, told Esther, she told the king. King had them put to death, and the recorder wrote that thing down in the book of the Chronicles. Now, the Bible says that they had this thing going, and Mordecai told it, and it was recorded. Now, let's move on to chapter 3. You'll notice in chapter 3 that the king called in his old favorite smart aleck, the man named Haman. And the Bible said in verse 1, after these things did King Ahasuerus, chapter 3 and verse 1, promote Haman the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, and advanced him and his seat above all the princes that were with him. Now, you'll notice here, hold your place there just a second, that about that time, the king called in Mr. Haman. And he said, Haman, I'm going to put you over all the province. You are going to be top dog in my palace. You are going to rule and reign. There ain't but one person in this palace that's going to be higher in authority than you, and that's me. You're second, and everybody has to bow down when you come in and you go out. So every day, Haman would put on his big fancy royal clothes, and he'd walk out that gate. And when he walked out that gate, everybody that was hanging around out there had to just bow down like this. And when Haman come walking out, and when he'd go to town, do his shopping, everybody just hit their knees. And when he'd come back in, they said, here he comes again, fall down again, and just look at the ground while Haman walked by. And brother, he just soaked that up. It just went to his head. Man, did he ever get high after they started doing that. But he had one little problem that aggravated the daylights out of him. And it was chapter 3 and verse number 2. I want you to notice this. Look at chapter 3. Keep your Bible open there. Esther chapter 3 and verse 2. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, why transgressest thou the king's commandment? Now it came to pass, when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand. For he had told them that he was a Jew. Now, brother, here the Bible tells us that every time old Haman would come walking in, everybody just fall down and hit their knees, except for one man. And it was old Mordecai the Jew. And he just sat here on his little stool, just like he didn't even see Haman as he come walking in. Haman would come walking in, everybody would fall down. Mordecai would just... He'd just take his time, look at the birds, look at the trees, and Haman couldn't stand that. And you know why he didn't? Because he told them that he was a Jew. And brother, God told them Jews way back before this time, thou shalt not worship any other God, nor bow down to them, nor serve them. Brother, a real Jew won't bow to nobody but God Almighty. And Mordecai said, I ain't bowing down to you. I'll keep the law. I'll do 55 on the highway. I'll stop at stop signs. But if you tell me to bow down and worship somebody else, bud, I'll let it go in one ear and out the other. I'll cooperate with you all I can, but I will not bow down when old Haman comes walking in. No more to kind you that he was a Jew and had one God. Boy, did that aggravate old Haman. Old Haman, he got a little conspiracy in mind. He said, I can't stand him. Now, it looks like he'd have been happy with 99.9% of the people bowing down to him. But he wasn't. He wanted them all. That reminds you of anybody? Does that remind you of people you know these days? All right. He came in, Mordecai wouldn't bow down. Haman went to doing a little research. He found out that Mordecai was a Jew. He said, I'm going to have that boy put to death. And somebody told me every one of them Jews believe like that. And if I'm ever going to get any peace and satisfaction of everybody bowing down to me, I'm going to have to put the whole crowd to death. And so he said, I want the king to sign a writing and make all the Jews in all the 127 provinces die because they rebel against the king's commandment. Now he said this thing drawed up, and he had a law drawed up and had the king stamp it and everything. Said, I hereby certify, King Ahasuerus, that everyone that's in the 127 provinces on a certain day of a certain month of a certain year will die because they will not keep the king's commandment. And you'll notice, brother, that here's where old Haman messed up. Here's where he made his mistake. He turned against the Jews, God's chosen people. I want to say to you tonight, this morning, that the Jews are still God's chosen people. And if you ever want to get God on your case, you just start doing them wrong and start treating them wrong, and the Lord's going to be against you, because He promised Abraham, if a man will bless you, I'll bless him. And if a man curse you, I'll curse him. And if a man does you wrong, I'll do him wrong. God's chosen people is a Jewish nation on this earth. You say, I thought all that changed. No, God never has broke His promises He made to those Jews. Never has. If you work with one, buddy, when you go up, you better pat him on the back and say, you're a fine fella. That's right. God ain't broke His promises to Israel. We're kind of taking a break right now, 2,000 years for the church to get in, the bride, Gentile bride for the Lord. But God will get His wife back. And that's Israel. They're kind of separated right now, but they're going to get back together. Jehovah God and His wife, Israel. I want you to know that this morning, my dear friends, you know what old Haman done? He said, this is in the 13th year of the reign of King Ahasuerus. He said it'll be on the 13th month. That means the whole month. That means 12. And then the first one, that makes the 13th month. The 13th month, the 13th day of the month. In the 13th year of King Ahasuerus, all the Jews are going to die. And he tells you about it in verse 13. Chapter 3 and verse 13. And brother, when them 13 start popping up like that, you better watch out, the devil's in town.
Yeah.
That's his number of rebellion. That's his number of apostasy. That's his number of evil. He said the Jews are going to be destroyed the 13th month, the 13th day, the 13th year of the reign of the king. And he tells you about it in chapter 3 and verse 13. He said we're going to wipe them all out. We are going to destroy the Jews. All right, let's move on right quickly this morning. If you have a problem finding all that, we'll look at it after service. And chapter number 4. In chapter 4, the story goes on. You see how that Haman now has decided to do away with all the Jews. Mordecai still won't bow down, but Haman, being the king's right-hand man, has decided to do away with all of the Jews. Well, Mordecai kept his ears open. He read the paper. He found out what was going on. He heard. He got word that all of the Jews were going to be destroyed. He heard word that all of them were going to be destroyed. And you know what he did then? He went and told all the other Jews. He said, boys, we got to fast. We got to fast. Don't eat nothing. Don't drink nothing. Things are bad. Things are looking bad for us. I mean, times are hard. It's time for us to fast and turn to God. It's time for us to do without food and do without water to drink in order that we may have God's help among us. And he went and told Esther. He said, Esther, you got to do something. Esther, you got to help us. You're the only one of us that can even talk to the king. You've got to go in there. Because you remember, Esther, you're a Jew too. And he called her over here to the side and said, how about going in there to the king and see if you can get this thing changed around? And the queen said, Mordecai, I'm the king's wife and I belong to him. But you got to remember, a person don't just go walking into the king's presence unannounced and uninvited, because you'd be killed just like that. The only way anybody can get in to see the king, cousin Mordecai, is to be invited and for the king to hold up the royal scepter and the golden scepter to let them in. And if the king held that thing up, it was all right for you to come in. If he didn't raise that thing up, they'd kill you for coming into the presence of the king. And she said, I could be killed. And Mordecai said, well, listen here, girl, you better remember. He told her. He said, listen here, Miss Esther, you better remember the Lord has allowed you to be queen. And I wouldn't doubt it, what, this ain't God's will for you being queen, for you just to go in there and make a plea for us, because God will deliver us by you being queen. He kind of put her on the spot a little bit. And he even told her, he said, now if you don't even want to do this, God will deliver us some other way. But you could get a blessing if you'd go in there and talk to him about it. That's what he told her in verse 14. Look at chapter 4 and verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. He wasn't worried about being destroyed or nothing. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. He said, you'll be the only one that gets killed if you don't tell him. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? He said, it might even be God's will that you're the queen for this very reason. Go in there and talk to the king on our behalf. Because they're going to destroy us in a few months. And then old Esther made that famous reply. She said, you tell everybody to fast. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to talk to the king. You tell everybody not to eat nothing. You tell everybody not to drink nothing. It's a serious business. Cousin Mordecai, I'm going to go talk to the king. You tell everybody to pray. And if I perish, I perish. Brother, she said, I'm going. Mordecai went back and said, pray for Esther. Everybody pray for Esther. She's going to go in and talk to the king. Try to get our lives spared. Pray for her. And they all got down and they prayed. Did without supper. Did without breakfast. Did without dinner so they could pray. I tell you, brother, the time come for her to go in and talk to the king. And brother, the Bible says in chapter 5, we notice the courage of this young lady as she went into the king. Could have cost her life, but she loved her people enough to do it. And she said, I prayed, and now it's time to step out. I believe God still wants us to do that today. I believe we ought to pray about something. If you believe God's leading you to go somewhere, be a missionary, do something, pray about it, pray about it, pray about it, and thank God when the time comes, step out. Amen. Trust God to take care of you. You know what she done? She said, I'm going into the palace. And brother, I bet she's a praying the whole time she's walking. Lord help me. Lord help me. Lord help me. And it just so happened the king was in a good mood that day. Oh, he's so happy. Laughing. Everything is just wonderful. And when he saw her, he is sitting up there on his throne. And as soon as he saw her, he raised up his golden rod and said, well, Queen Esther, isn't it wonderful that you should come by today? Come on in here. And he's just so happy. The Lord had made him that way, you see. And he's just so happy. He said, her in there, and he said, oh, you look so beautiful today. See, she wore her best. She wore her royal apparel. I mean, her hair was combed, brother. It didn't look... Somehow or another, people these days think to be a Christian, your hair's got to be matted together, and you got to have a dress that's halfway this way. And I mean, you just ain't supposed to look neat and clean. That makes you humble. That's right. That don't make you sanctified. We used to have a teacher told us, he said, soap's cheap and water's free. Use it. He used to come in our class, and he'd walk in there, and he'd say, soap's cheap and water's free. Use it. You just walk right on by and teach. Boy, you'd see a bunch of old boys start hanging their head. You know, looking. But I mean, she fixed herself up the best she possibly could. Put on her very best. Walked in there and the king said, boy, you sure do look wonderful today. Wife, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. To the half of my kingdom. You just name it, you've got it. And I bet she like took a shout and fell inside. No Mordecai out here walking back and forth, praying. God's people all over the land praying. Brother the king said, whatever you want. She wanted to break him in kind of slow. You know, women got a way of doing that. Put her arm around, hi, honey. Boy, when they do that, they're wanting something. And there's some things I could say there, but it wouldn't be nice talk for church. Amen. She said, have I told you was handsome lately? And the dumb thing swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker. Many strong men have been slain by her. Oh, Elijah, he killed them, buddy. He beat them half to death. 1,000 men. Here come one woman. He took off flying. Brother, you know what happened? She said, I can't ask him. I'm fixing a big dinner tomorrow. Why don't you come? And that's what she said. He said, okay. And have Haman to come too. Boy, that just tickled old Haman to death. So the next day they went to the dinner. And brother, she had everything laid out there, just a perfect meal. Royalty at its very best. And the king and Haman were the only two people invited. And she said, Miss Sir, my husband, grant me my petition. He said, what is your petition? And she said, I will fix you another dinner tomorrow. Will you come? And he said, put on a big shindig at his house that evening. He said, come on over. We're having a party. Everybody's invited. Come on. And he had everybody he knowed over at his house. All his big dignitaries and all his big prominent, important people in town. He went around and he said, folks, Queen Esther had a dinner today. I'm going to have one tomorrow. She didn't invite nobody. King and me. No one's invited. Nobody else, just me and King. And everybody said, oh, you lucky dog. Esther didn't invite nobody but the king and you. Boy, he just soaked that attention up. His pride got bigger, bigger, and bigger. And lo and behold, you know what happened next? His wife started talking to him, and she said, oh, honey, her name was Zeresh. I don't know where that name come from. But old Zeresh come to her husband Haman and she said, honey, you sure are important. You sure are a great man. You sure are a wonderful man in the king's sight, or he wouldn't do you all of this. Why, you ought to be the happiest man in the world. He said, I am happy, honey, and everybody in town bows down to me and everything wanted Lisa, but there's just one thing that's just eating at me and I can't get it out of my system. She said, well, what is it, darling? And he said, I can't enjoy all this attention as long as I have to look at that old Mordecai the Jew standing by that gate every day. He gripes me. I can't stand to see him. He never will. If it wasn't for him, I'd be the happiest man in the world. Walked back in the next day, and there stood old Mordecai just looking at him. He wasn't about to bow down. And you know what happened? You know what that shows me? Might have got ahead in the next chapter there a little bit. I believe we're in chapter 5 now. You know what? His wife said, you build some gallows 75 feet high and you hang old Mordecai on them gallows. He said, you're a smart woman. I'm going to do that. So he had them 75 foot high gallows built. He's going to hang old Mordecai in so he could be the top dog in town. Brother, he went back. Did you know the Jews have always been a prick in the sides of the world? There's been many a man since then that said if it wasn't for them Jews, I'd be happy. That's what Hitler said. That's what every world ruler said. The Jews are a prick in the sides of the people of the world. You just can't do nothing with them. That's right. You can't have whatever you want as long as them Jews are around. And in a sense, God's people are like that today. Did you know that? I guarantee you that some of you people right now, everybody would take a shout and spell if you quit your job where you work. Because you're just a prick to them just being there. As long as you're there, they're kind of holding back a little bit. And have to go over here in the corner to tell their dirty jokes and laugh and cuss and everything. So, ooh, if it just wasn't for that one, we could have this whole meal to our old wicked selves. And you are the very one that's keeping them from having a good time just by being there in your presence. That's why all hell's going to break loose when the rapture comes. Because when the Christian people are gone, they'll just go wild. People will. No restraint. Nothing to hold them back. And brother, the world will be a wicked place when the prick is gone. Brother, Haman, he's built that gallows. He is going to hang Mordecai on it. He went to the banquet that day. Went home, bragged about it, came back the next day. Brother, he was going to tell the king to hang Mordecai on those gallows. Well, something unusual happened. I'm going to speed up now. Chapter 6. You'll notice, just by wild chance, it just so happened the king couldn't sleep that night. All them other nights, the Lord saved it till this night. And the king could not go to sleep no matter how hard he tried. And he tossed, and he turned, and he tossed, and he turned. And they had them big feathers, fans. That was their air condition back in them days. Dropping grapes in his mouth. Trying to do everything. The king couldn't go to sleep. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He said, I know what will put me to sleep. Go in there and get the Bible and read it to me a little while. That'll do it every time, you know it. I mean, if you ever have a problem going to sleep, just get your Bible out and start reading. I guarantee you'll be asleep in 30 minutes. The devil will put you to sleep. But anyway, he said, go get that book of Chronicles. And he said, have it read before me. And they started reading. And it came to pass on a certain day that Big Fan and somebody else tried to slay the king. And Mordecai found out about it. And he stopped them. And he had them. They read what old Mordecai had done back there a few months before. And the king said, well, stop right there just a minute. Whoa, here. That man Mordecai saved my life, didn't he? And you know what they said? They said, yep, sure did. It's wrote right here in the book of Chronicles. And the king said, well, did we ever do anything for that boy for doing that? I mean, did we ever bestow upon him some great bundle of riches? Or did we give him a new chariot or a new camel? Or what was ever done for Mordecai? And they said, I ain't got no record where we ever done anything for him. And the king said, I'm going to have to do that. Tomorrow morning, first thing, I'm going to think up something good to do to Mordecai. He went off to sleep. Next morning, bright and early, here comes old Haman. Haman's over here in his house. Well, honey, I'm gone. Oh, you handsome beast, you. I'm gone. See, after a while, I'm going to have old Mordecai hung on them gallows today. He'll not bother me no more. Kissed her goodbye, walked out the door. Started over towards the king's palace. In the meantime, the king was over here and he was getting up. What good thing can I do to Mordecai? What good thing can I do for Mordecai? What good thing? I'm going to do something real good for Mordecai. Here come Haman walking in that morning all bright-eyed, pussy-tailed, come walking in. There stood old Mordecai. He didn't even look at him. Just walked right on by him into the king's palace. And the king walked in. He walked in and the king said, well, well, if it isn't my good friend Haman. Haman's got in his mind, hallelujah, the king's in a good mood. He's going to let me kill old Mordecai. He's going to let me kill him. About that time in the king's mind, the Lord's working. And the king says, I'm going to have to do something good for Mordecai. I'm going to have to do something good for that old boy. And the old Haman comes walking up. And the king said, Mr. Haman, I'm so glad you're here this morning. I've got something I'd like for you to help me think about. Haman said, why, sure. I'll help you. Sure, I'll help you, king. Anything you want, I'll help you. Old boy, he's in a good mood. Old boy's in a good mood. I'm going to have old Mordecai dead before the day's over. And old king says, maybe he can help me think up good to do something for Mordecai. And he says, what shall the king do to the man whom he delighteth in? There's a man that I'm going to really do something good for. And brother, when the king said he was going to do something for you, I mean, it wasn't like Elvis just bought somebody a Cadillac. I mean, the king set you up for life. He said, I'm going to delight myself in a man in my kingdom. I'm going to do something real good. What do you think I should do? And Haman said, surely the goodness he's talking about me. Why, he likes me better than anybody. And he said, I know. Let the king's royal robe be put on him. Let him wear your own royal ring. Let him wear your crown. And let him ride through the streets of the city. Let everybody bow down and do him reverence. Let that be done to the man whom the king delighteth. And the king said, that's a good idea, Haman. You go right out there and make sure this is done right now to Mordecai the Jew. And Haman went, and like to gagged himself to death. And he said, no, this can't be. And the king said, go. And he said, yes, sir. And old Haman had to go out there and put the royal robe on Mordecai and the royal ring and the crown and the staff on him and ride him through the streets, and everybody had to bow down when Mordecai rode through town. And there he sat on the royal chariot just cruising through town. Expression hadn't changed a bit. And Haman was so mad and so jealous, he hated Mordecai, brother. He couldn't stand the sight of him. You know, when you try to fight God's people, you're hurting yourself. You go out and you run your mouth about the church. You run your mouth about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, you're courting a tombstone. You're asking for it. Brother, that's what old Haman did. He wicked. Lo and behold, I want you to notice something that happened. Chapter 8, number 8. Look at chapter 8 and verse 15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel. Can't you just see him? Blue and white, with a great crown of gold, with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. Verse 16, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, and the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to being put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. In other words, brother, Mordecai got the ring. Him just doing nothing, just standing there. And somehow or another, the Lord worked it out for him to get the crown, the royal staff, the fine clothes, everything. And that's why they say nowadays that you can meet a Jew on the street corner and give him a dime, and at the end of the month he'll own the department store. Because God's still doing them like that. Haman was breaking his neck to get somewhere, and all his went to naught. Brother, you know what happened after that? Haman got over that and come to the banquet the next day. I'm going to give you this and bring this thing to a close in just a few minutes. Haman came back to the second banquet. And brother, the Bible says that he came back, and there was the queen, there was the king. Come in, Mr. Haman, come in. Here is the banquet that we've prepared for you. About that time, Queen Esther finally got up enough nerve to ask him her petition. He said, what is your petition, darling? And darling said, did you know there's some people that's trying to destroy me and my people? And the king loved Esther. He wasn't about to let nobody destroy her and her people. She said, there's somebody trying to destroy us, kill me, my family, my fathers. And the king said, who is it? And Queen Esther said, the adversary is that wicked Haman. Brother, old Haman's whole world started caving in on him because he had fought against God's people. And you know what? Haman hung his head. And the king got so mad, he walked out on the patio. Just turned around and just walked out like that. Went out there and looked up and started thinking. And that left Haman and the queen in there in the royal palace. About that time, Queen Esther was just sitting on their ivory, delicate, beautiful bed. And old Haman fell down. He said, Queen, 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 Queen! And he fell down on the bed. About that time, the king walked back in. There laid Esther. There laid Haman across the bed. And he said, you're trying to rape my wife right here in the palace. That's what it says. Read chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. He said, you tried to kill her family, now you're trying to rape her in the palace. About that time, a royal subject stepped up and said to Mr. King, what are you going to do with him? King said, I don't know. He said, somebody built a brand new gallows out here the other day, 75 feet high. Brand new, that'd be a good place to put him. And the king said, hang him on it. And he took old Haman out there and hung him on his gallows. Till he was dead, that he had made for Mordecai the Jew. Here sat old Mordecai over at the king's gate with his royal clothes on. What a white man made that big gala for. And they hung him on it. Folks, if you're one of God's, God's going to take care of you. If you're not, you're in a heap of trouble. If you don't belong to God this morning, I wouldn't trade places with you for $1 million.
If you come up here and laid $1 million cash in my hands right now to trade places with you, if you belong to the devil, I wouldn't do it. Chapter 8, 9, 10. I'll make this brief and I'll close. They sent out letters all over the kingdom to reverse that decree that he had sent out a few months before. And instead of having all the Jews killed, they had all Haman's family killed and his sons. Right quickly, these Bible lessons. What are the Bible lessons we learn from this Bible story this morning? Lesson number one, the wicked are never satisfied. If you don't have Jesus in your heart this morning, no matter what you get, no matter how popular you are, no matter how much money you have, you'll never be satisfied. Lesson number two, the wicked hate the righteous. In Psalm 37, verse 12 and 13, the Bible said the wicked hateth the righteous and seeketh to destroy him, plotteth against him. But God shall laugh at him, for he sees that his day is coming. Lesson number three, you'll reap what you sow. You cannot live your life ungodly and in sin and expect to get by with it. You young people here this morning, you say, oh, I'm young, I'm a teenager. I'm going to go out and smoke pot. I'm going to go out and get drunk. I'm going to go out and live like I want to. But one of these days, it'll come home to you. It'll come knocking at your door, backfire on you. It'll boomerang on you, just like it did old Haman. Lesson number four, wicked intentions boomerang every time. I heard about a man back in the old days that committed a murder on a horse one night and rode through the woods all night long trying to get away. Early and bright and early the next morning, he'd come up on a path and there was the police investigating everything. He'd come right up on the scene of the crime and arrested him. Then he'd not ride around in a circle all night, come right back and got himself arrested. Wicked intentions boomerang. Lesson number five, God's children are to bow to no one but Him. God's children are to bow to nobody but Him. You say, well, I'm scared they'll put me in jail. Well, if they do, the Lord will get you out. God's children are to bow to nobody but God. Lesson number six, God's children will come out on top in the end. It may look bad, but brother, I want to tell you something right now. God's children's going to come out on top when this thing's over. The battle has already been won. And then a final lesson this morning. You can't beat God, so you might as well join Him. Man, you try to fight against Him, you're in pitiful shape. If you know God's wanting you to do a certain thing in your life, and you try to fight against God, you ain't doing nothing but fighting yourself. If you're here this morning and you know things ain't right between you and the Lord, and you're fighting, you're in trouble. You can't beat God. You just might as well join Him. And you say, all right, Lord, I give up my white, I set up my white flag, I surrender. Hey, y'all listening to me this morning? If you try to go against the Lord and rebel against God and live in sin and do evil and wicked and rebel against the Lord, you will be the one to suffer for it. May the Lord help you this morning to realize this Bible lesson. Go with God. He'll go with you. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You say, oh, Brother Danny, the things that happened in that story, maybe it's just coincidence. I don't think so. I believe God was watching over the whole scene the whole time. God saved Mordecai, and Haman was slain. If you're here this morning, and you know good and well that things are not right between you and the Lord, while the piano starts playing softer this morning, I want you to search your heart. You know, God's looking in on this church right now. He's looking at your heart. I wonder right quick before we pray, there be someone in this church that say, Brother Danny, I know things ain't right between me and the Lord. And I know that I'm going to be the one to suffer for it. I need the church to pray for me. I wonder if you'd just slip up your hand and take it right back down so we can pray for you. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. You, thank God for these hands. Someone else. We're not going to come to you. We're not going to embarrass you. Well, nobody's going to put you on the spot. We're just going to pray for you. That's all. Slip up your hand. Take it right back down. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you back there, boys. Amen. Somebody else. Will you be honest tonight? God bless you, sir. Would you be honest right now this morning and just lift that hand and say, I need your prayers. I need your prayers. God bless you. Someone else. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Christians are praying this morning. You do realize this, don't you? If you fight against God in your life, you will be the one to lose. You say, oh, I'm going to live my own life, do my own thing. Well, you can if you want to, but you'll pay for it. And the Lord loves you today. He wants to save you. He wants to help you. God's people are praying for you. God's Spirit spoke to you. You ought to get it settled between you and the Lord this morning. Let me tell you something. You folks that raised your hand, there is not one sin that God won't forgive you of if you can confess it. You say, boy, I've been awful mean, preacher. Yeah, but the Lord will forgive you of every sin you've committed if you'll come to Him and ask Him. God will forgive any sin you can confess. If you can confess it, God will forgive it. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Christians, you pray this morning. I believe there's several folks here this morning that God's dealt with. God's going to speak to them and change their life right here before they leave this church this morning. We're going to pray. We're going to stand and sing. If God spoke to your heart and you need to come, don't wait. You'll be the one to pay if you do. Our Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the lessons we can learn from it. Help us, Lord, be on Your side, on the side of Your people, on the winning side. Oh, God, I pray for these that lifted their hands, Lord, that You'd give them grace. Lord, just to take that next step and make things right with You. And then, God, I pray if there be that one of those here this morning who's not saved, maybe didn't raise their hand, but deep down inside they know if they were to die at this moment, it'd be hell forever. I pray, God, that You'd help them to come. Get it settled before it's everlastingly too late. Help them to realize that You died for them. You rose again so that they could be saved. Help them to trust that and mean it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's